Prescott is solely responsible for the content of this program.
Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. No more beating around the bush or serving up half-baked solutions. We're here to shake things up, challenge the norms, and deliver unfiltered information with a healthy dose of irreverence and boundless curiosity. Our mission? To be your voice, to bring you all sides of the story, and yes, to inject a bit of humor into the mix. We're passionate about the quality of life in Prescott, and we know you are too. Join us as we embark on a journey to keep it real, keep it informative, and most importantly, keep it engaging. Welcome to our platform, where transparency meets a touch of wit.
And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
So we're here right now with Stan Golengoski and my co-host here, Tony Hamer, and we're going to sit here and ask Stan some questions. And we do have some history with Stan, and maybe Stan.
Were you just like this or what?
No, we weren't. You know, that's one thing I like about Stan is we had some differences in the beginning with the school stuff and all that. But what I like about Stan and myself is that we had our differences, but we worked it out, right? Good. And we can really agree to disagree. And, you know, those are times that, are past us now. And, you know, we all care about our city. And one thing I do know about Stan is he's a local, a military vet, and he cares about our city. And his kids will be here, and I'm going to be here. And, I really like the passion that you have.
Thanks.
Want to go forward with this. Because, as Tony and I both know, it's treacherous out there in the political scene. Yeah, I had devil's horns on me. They put me on Putin's horse. I had Donald Trump here, but that was pretty cool. Anyhow.
Whatever. That was a great experience.
It was.
To find out more about the town and to, become somewhat relevant in terms of where we're going in the future.
Yeah,
and that's what we're really about is where are we going as a town?
That's right.
Because there's a bunch of chaos out there right now and, we need to clarify that, and we need to get people thinking about painting the picture of what Prescott will be.
That's right.
And that's what we're looking at you for and saying, are you the man to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where, this is a group of citizens that, I keep on talking about the full spectrum of people that ask me to do this, and it isn't any one entity that's totally driving this.
Right.
There's just been enough issues that, I was asked to run for this because I will come to the table with anybody. Right. You guys, case in point. We did have differences, but holy
this
cow.
This is the bottom of the barrel.
Really? Pretty close, but.
Chad, you and I, we've shared a drink together. That's what we should be doing in this town. That's what the town was raised on, and the leaders that came before us, and that's what they did. They definitely had differences, but the heart of the town was their focus, and they couldn't go wrong. And that's how this town became so great. And it's continued to be great.
It is a wonderful place.
Well, and I think going into 2024, leadership is really important. I know that when Tony and I were running, we felt if we did lose, which we lost dramatically, but that's okay. We're here now. But Katie Gregory, we had a great meeting with Katie, and Katie being the city manager, we felt, wow, we have hope here. Being honest, because you know what?
100%.
We need planning, and just like Tony said, we need to paint a picture on our future here. And when you go and talk to the city officials and stuff, we have great people in this town running this town, but they're scared to speak up. We found that with several departments, right?
Well, absolutely. As we went through each department, it became very obvious that there was some dysfunction in terms of how we're doing things.
Yeah.
And we want to put that to rest, and that's one of the reasons we were running, of course.
Great. That was not necessarily one of our top priorities at the beginning, but as soon as we dropped the recall petition, everybody started coming out of the woodwork, and it was so obvious. Now, we had heard about, from friends and things that were different departments, but they're professionals. They're going to be as professional as they can. But honestly, when this occurred, there became hope in that city, in that city hall.
Right.
When even the day that we dropped it, people were coming out. They were watching. There were smiles on their faces. People were coming out that I've worked with before, just, you know, as discreetly as possible, shaking our hands and saying, "Thank you for doing this. This is a it's a bad situation."
Right.
And then we get emails and we get social media feeds and some people want to come forward and some people just want to protect their jobs.
Right.
And you know, the ultimate form of toxicity is when you're in an environment and you're afraid of retribution. And that's really what we have here. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this by any means, and I have never been, because these are our neighbors. These are the people that work for our town, believe in it, and they want to do what's best, not only for their families, so that, you know, they can live here and keep their job, but they want to do what's best for our city.
Well, we have seen a lot of turnover, of course, in terms of staff. If you look back over the last 5 years, it's
yes.
very dramatic in terms of especially department heads going. And these are the ones who have the institutional memory
yes.
about Prescott.
Yeah, and some of those are carrying petitions for us as well
right.
because
yeah.
they are so passionate about this.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
You know, there was a recent statistic by, you know, same group that wrote articles about you guys, and they
that
you know, they listed, I know, but, you know,
yeah.
small
right.
groups.
Yeah.
Well, small group of four people, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's important for, you know, people have facts, you know, and to
That's
say that.
That's why we're here.
Amen.
It's about getting the facts out. There's too much rubbish rolling around town.
Right.
In everything about the city.
Right.
It's just wrong.
It is. And it's skewed. And, you know, everybody's, you know, just because, you know, even if, let's say, people see our association here, they're going to assume, well, they're obviously in cahoots. You know, they must
course.
Be paying each other. And,
yeah.
and it's, you know, that's not the way we operate. And that's
I'll
we've never been like that. Exactly, right? I mean, but that's kind of the how ludicrous it is.
It
you
is.
Know, just because we have an association with somebody. I mean, you know, I have an association with Karen Fan as example. But really, I
right.
only saw her on the basketball court when her grandson was or her nephews were playing. Or, you know, and then I was asked to be part of a Western Values Coalition to round out, you know, the voice of and bring people together at the table.
Right.
But all of a sudden now I'm in her pockets. And I mean, that's the extreme that is occurring here. When we know that, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people, I know a lot of people in this town, grew up in this town, and I am associated with them, but at only because we are friendly, because we're cordial,
right.
you know, and when these issues come up and what we've seen in the past and what I used to watch, you know, Taylor Hicks or Rolly Simmons or Dayton Rakowski or whoever, what they would do is they would bring all the groups together. And that's
right.
how they got through these things.
Right.
Not keep them out, not have closed door sessions and executive
yeah.
sessions.
Transparency
and hide everything.
Is a key. And, you know, we door knocked over 3,500 doors and we spent a lot of time in the North.
Good.
Because the North is forgotten. And you wouldn't believe the stuff we heard at the doors, like, oh my gosh, no one's ever come to our house. And we had that one of the tribal leaders.
Yeah, 40 years.
40 years.
And we hadn't seen a single politician
really?
Come
yeah.
knock on his door. And he loved to talk with us. We stayed there for 20 minutes, I bet.
That's great.
But they don't know what's going on here. You know, a lot of people don't know what's in the pipeline, what's happening, what's going on with lawsuits, what's going on with
right.
taxes. What's you know, the one thing that no one wants to bring up is our city debt.
Yeah.
We're over $150 million in debt. But we don't talk about that. We just keep spending money on land and,
right.
you know, we can't
is
afford
that
fire
your
departments.
Understanding and, as well, there's $150 million in debt?
I, you know, that figure, you know, I haven't done my whole homework on that piece right there.
Okay.
Now, and I know you guys have. However, I know that, and Steve Shishka just did a show 2 days ago, and he said, you know, exactly. What is the state? You know, he told us what the state of the finances are
yeah.
as well. And I know that. Let's take, for instance, the airport.
Right.
We should not be land acquisition.
No.
You know, doing any of that for our city. And there's 179 acres that are in question. Right.
right.
That's the airport vicinity overlay. What's they whittled it down to? And if you look at it, I know that we have current city council that are saying, you know, we can use the $50 million that Dr. Sabata got. No, you can't. It's an allocated amount of money.
Right.
You can maybe use anywhere from $3 to $4 million.
That's right.
That you potentially could use. That comes out to about $22,000 an acre.
Right.
People will be, you'd be running out there buying $22,000, you know. That's right. I'll be right back. So we've devalued the land. And honestly, in understanding and listening to the attorneys when I was on PNZ, it's not just so much that the developer could sue
right.
because of the breakage of the development agreement, but any landowner
sure.
out there on that acreage, each one individually can sue.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what we're facing.
Pendant liability out there over
100%.
And above what people are
yeah.
talking about.
And we have an airport for city overlay. And even that article is written. Yeah, it was developed. It was approved. It was, you know, but now we're trying to push something because we didn't like an initial development agreement, right, that happened, right? It was done under, you know, two mayors ago, watch.
Right.
It was approved. And it's done. I mean, whether you like it or not.
Right.
I mean, it's,
yep.
you know.
The city council has to go and steward that event.
You have
and
to.
Move us forward from here.
You've got to.
We can't be seen as
that's right.
operating in bad faith.
Adhere to your obligations. Now, I am for preserving our land more
right.
than anybody. And, I mean, I want it for my kids and their kids because
right.
we are generational. I mean, my wife's family has been here since 1912. We're not moving. This is our town. And we've watched the acquisitions, and
you know,
we want to keep
that, that's,
them.
You know, Chad's whole game is to get people to move, and that way
you
just...
oh, turn
yeah, right.
I know, right?
Hey, 22,000 an acre, I'm in.
Yeah, so, I know I'm talking a lot.
No, no. The thing about numbers and stuff, the people don't understand that, like how you just explained it, right?
Yeah.
I was on Jason Zaletto's show yesterday with Connie Cattelmi and the mayor. They're talking about this $15 million for the rodeo grounds. Oh, we should have used that for the fire department. You can't. That's
it's
for economic. It's
for
not
it.
Allocated for that, and they're trying to spin it, saying, "Oh, this could be used for a new fire station and all this stuff." Well, why didn't they put in for it then?
Absolutely.
That's what
well,
I,
and
know.
I'll tell you what, and that's a great point. You talk about the forgotten North. We are. I mean, I've spoken to the fire chief, and he's been speaking to the council, and I know the council is supportive of having fire stations and whatnot, as they should, but honestly, they're not showing it. They're instead
no.
working towards funding land,
yep.
you know, through the airport vicinity overlay, or but they're not focusing on the basic essential services and the safety of our residents, mainly because we have three fire stations in our current population that have to be built right now. We're 2 years out from even getting a fire truck built if we were to request it
today.
And
there's a couple of them really run down, too, the fire stations.
The one out at the airport alone.
You yeah,
can't have female
terrible.
Firefighters
no.
at all in there because there aren't the facilities for them. I mean,
you
it
know,
is.
The whole North Prescott thing,
yeah.
and this was addressed by the mayor and Connie on Monday, but, you know, the points I got from that, we've got to get going in terms of North Prescott.
Yeah.
You know, we're really lagging behind.
Yes, sir.
No way we can achieve a 5-minute response time.
We can't.
We're behind the curve in terms of everything we do. And we're behind the curve in terms of thinking how to fund
mm-hmm.
what must be done as well.
Right.
So this was very revealing in terms of where we are. My immediate question is, why are we behind? We've had a mayor that's been in there now for 6 years, and he's behind the curve.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? What do you think we should be doing in North Prescott? Because
yeah.
we are behind the curve.
Yeah.
We've got to get a grip on this.
Yeah. 100% reprioritize what we're looking at. The airport is a non-issue. It's being self-imposed. It's self-inflicted. Allocate the money that we need to allocate towards these fire stations, but you can get creative with them. You could have a fire station with a police station. You can have a fire station with a library. You could have, you know, and you can, and if you talk to the landowners, like the developer,
right?
I mean, the James family has donated land
yeah.
and facilities, but you can't push them out. Whether you like them or not, whether you're
right.
pro-developer or you're not pro-developer, you got to bring them to the table because they can, and the Fanes do the same thing.
Right.
Fanes donated the land for the new YMCA out in Prescott right. Valley because they see how fruitful that is to that
right.
community. These people do that. And so they'll allocate the land. We'll ask them. We'll come in and as in good faith because they need those facilities. And you don't even know what you're going to kick in. And then when you
right.
show this generosity, I mean, anybody, grants are a wonderful thing.
Yep.
You know, looking for funding is a wonderful thing. They are out there. I worked for the county school system, and we got, you know, millions of dollars in grants,
yeah.
you know, I mean, as well. I mean, I
yeah.
know the airport director does, but you know what? There's people out there getting millions of dollars in grants all over this community. So
yeah.
it's not isolated. So we got to get more creative.
Yeah, so you're saying that grants and funding and grants are a big piece of this whole thing.
Funding and grants, and then also how much in kind. You know, we are a giving community. And
yeah,
I'll tell you,
you're giving.
I want to give, you know, the preserve, you know, for the Dells, you know, population wants it. I love that area. I grew up on that area. Jay Wilkinson was a scoutmaster of mine. That was his land. I ran on that land. I learned how to rappel in the Point of Rocks. So there are some great memories for me. So you would not believe. I'll tell you what, Joe Baines can run a backhoe. You know,
right.
I mean, the guy's
right.
amazing, right? So you don't know how much in kind there is within this community that it doesn't always have to be dollars that you're throwing at it.
Right. So yeah, it brings me to another item. You know, overall capital budgeting within the city.
Yeah.
You know, $100 million or thereabouts gets churned into capital.
Right.
Lot into fire engines, police vehicles, etc. But how do we make those decisions? And it, you know, it often seems like it's the person with the loudest voice
Amen.
Gets,
yeah.
you know, the money in terms of their pet investment.
Yeah.
Here's an example. We've got issues in terms of the Dells
mm-hmm.
and the Glassford Regional Park there.
Yeah.
And that's going to cost us a bunch of money, tens and maybe twenties of millions. And then you've got other issues like the fire stations, you know, where a fire station's going to cost us 10 plus
mm-hmm.
and have an operating cost on top of that of $1 million plus a year. How do you make the decision in terms of prioritizing those?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
Well, I am totally focused on not only public safety, but also the preservation of this area. So, and those are the two main items that really our community is focused on. I mean, let's just be really, really frank about it. And I am 100% again in support of that. So even the acquisition of Glassford Hill was a great thing. You know, that was a regional partnership, you
right.
know, and
right.
that's what you have to do more of. And
together.
Yeah, do it together, right? I mean, so commend everybody that was involved with that. I mean, Joe Baines is an amazing resource, you know, for that. He is, and there's a person that's, I mean, I've known him since I was a kid. My dad was at his wedding. I mean, that's how far back we go up. But he is respected in this area.
Yes,
he's a guy that you can, you know, and that's the way all department heads should be respected as well. So when they advise the council, they're speaking from not only a position of looking at the dollars and cents of it, the feasibility of it,
right.
but they're also speaking, you know, at the heart of the community because they're listening to it from the community,
right.
probably more so
right.
than any elected official. And they don't have these political pressures that we're seeing with our elected officials that are swaying them, that are bouncing around inside their mind. So
but,
use your staff.
How are you going to make the decision between a return for those people who love the country,
mm-hmm.
most people do,
yeah.
and a safety issue in terms of the fire stations.
Yeah.
How you know, you've only got $20 million to spend.
Right.
Which one's first?
Well,
and how do you come to...
Right. I mean, the safety is the priority. Let's just
right.
be very frank about this, because the more we kick this down the road, it's just going to get worse.
And that's what we heard on the campaign
that's
trail
right.
was public safety.
Absolutely.
Right.
You hear a lot about the airport and all that. It was about
no,
public safety.
Not at all. You
yeah.
talk to any of the residents out there, they're very upset about the whole overlay, you know,
right.
in the
yeah.
issue. But then the land acquisition, there are so many methods, like I said, that you getting creative and utilizing the staff to get additional funding, just like what our legislators did for the rodeo. know, they could do it the same thing, and they did get money for the regional park as well. I know Joe Baines has gone to the state and said, you know, they're looking at a legacy fund for the preservation of this as well, where the state for 3 years would allocate so much money, but they put in this legacy fund so they don't get it all in one tranche, but they'll get it in three different tranches. So right. that's the mechanisms that you have to work with here. So
you're opening the problem out not to being A versus B.
But amen. Yes. I don't say amen a lot, but I'm a faithful guy. But go ahead.
Let's get C in here, a different stakeholder, and work with them in terms of resolving this.
I worked for, so Tim Carter was my high school track coach, and now he's this county school superintendent. I mean, he's been a mentor of mine. He pinned my lieutenant bars on me. So I've watched him, and I've watched him navigate, and he asked me to come back to Prescott, right? I got an opportunity when he asked me to come back after I retired from the military. And in my last assignment, I was teaching at the Military Academy at West Point. And so I moved all the way
that
across
was
the country.
Nice gig.
Oh, on the Hudson River Valley.
It was like, beautiful.
Yeah. Most Army installations are not like that. So I ended on top. Right. You're right. Yeah. Oh, there you go. But Tim Carter, what we developed through our accreditation process was a term, listen, innovate, and serve. And I've applied that, and I've realized I've kind of applied that all throughout most of my career, but also through my life.
Framework. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you listen, there's always a means to accomplish whatever your goals are without just immediately looking at what's the budget. No, what are the means in order for us to get to getting additional funding, to talk to our legislators for additional funding. I mean, there are so many resources, but instead we're operating inside of a bubble and thinking that, we just have this budget and this is all we have. Right. That's not how you move a community along.
Good.
So, and then
Good.
You serve, you know, I mean, that's the finishing part here.
Right.
So I've operated like that for years. That's the way my mind works. If anybody that knows me, that's just the way I operate. So, this is not hard, you know, but you got to be willing and passionate to do it.
But you've got to open the boxes up. You can't have
open
A
the
versus
boxes.
B. You
That's know, right.
Make
That's
it
right.
a bigger field for everybody to participate.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, is that one of the things that Mayor Good does wrong?
Well, I'm just not seeing. When you look at the number of executive sessions, when you look at how much you're throwing these plans together, and not everybody is involved, and then you throw it out for public consumption, and they don't survive.
Right. No.
You know, and then they have to go back into a session because it didn't survive, and now they got to change tactics or whatever it might be, or change the whole script. That's the issue. But if you did it from the get-go and you just planned and you planned openly, you brought everybody together, that's how you move this along. We all know, I mean, being a military guy, no plan ever survives first contact, ever. I mean, it's a common, phrase. But you have to be able to adjust. You have to plan for contingencies, right? And just keep on moving forward.
Right.
Right.
You've got to have a plan first.
Yeah. You've got to have a
Do
plan.
Do we have a plan?
Yeah.
Well, do we have a plan?
No. You're saying, do we? No. It's just kind of like throwing what sticks.
That's what we found when we were on the trail. We're like, there's no planning. Even Katie Gregory came up here, and she's like, there's like no plan.
Right.
And she started to do that,
Yeah,
she
started
her job
to wrangle
is.
It. And you can tell. And I don't know what happened with the airport director or whatever, but you could tell that there probably became a point where, here's a city manager trying to manage the city and trying to prioritize and advise. And then you've got someone that's really pushing a single agenda that obviously was not agreeing with what the city really needed. So we can see through that.
Well,
and
she had that right, too.
None
of the council should question that, really.
You're right.
On the air the other day, both Connie and Phil were, Mayor Good was, they were talking about that. And, they say, anybody can ask her to step down or give a resignation.
No.
And, so that was kind of their spin on it.
Well, she was asked for her letter of resignation.
Correct.
That apparently is different from firing.
Not at all. Right. Yeah.
I Kid you not.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to spin, right?
We're trying to get a British, where you can take out a filter out of a British accent.
Actually, is there such a thing? Yeah.
Stan, there's one thing I want to play for you. This was on KYCA, a PM show the other day on December 12th with Phil Good and Connie Can Tell Me and Jason Zenzaletta.
Six times.
I just want to play you. This is about, I don't know, maybe 40 seconds, and I just want your opinion after hearing Mr. Phil Good speak this.
Oh, shoot. This off just by saying that, sadly, this is sort of politics as usual, where people who don't like you for whatever reason come up with reasons to come after you. The fact that one of the organizers is already announcing that he wants to run against me for mayor tells you just about everything you know about the effort. People know that I work hard at this job as your mayor. I do what I think is right for Prescott. And I won't let myself, our council, or our city be bullied by people who want to force their ideas on us instead of debating them and persuading people the way they should under our American system of representative government.
So obviously there's a lot to be said there.
Yeah.
The one thing that the key I saw was bullied, because, you know, that's one of the reasons I know that there's a, you know, one of the things on your website about bullying.
Correct.
But I also, the debating, you know, and Tony and I were talking after you, and this, I'll let you answer in a second.
Yeah.
But we'd love to see a debate. I would love, you know, the one thing that Tony tried to do this with Connie Can Tell Me when he was running, there's never debates here. It's just always one side or the other.
Dude. Yeah.
And it's like, wouldn't it be great to have you and Phil eventually on a stage and debate?
Yeah.
He said it right there.
Yeah.
Debating.
Would you agree to?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm all for it. You know, I know, you know, the recall process is also part of our democracy. And
right.
There is malfeasance, and that's what's being quoted by not just one city council, but four.
Yep.
Four city, you know, four city council. That became a tipping point. This isn't bullying. This is not, you know, he can claim whatever he wants, but this is, we have reached a point where we can't afford this mayor. We can't afford the impending lawsuits. We can't afford for him to not represent all of Prescott.
You know, Chad, that was great to be able to spend time with Stan Goligalski like that, or Stan G, as we both call him now. You know, he's really a pretty interesting guy in terms of his background. But, you know, there's lots of naysayers out there that call on Stan to be more upfront and committed rather than blowing in the wind.
Yeah, no, I learned a lot from that interview. I think Stan did a great job. Obviously, we got to see what's going to happen in the upcoming months, you know, to make sure that he gets the recall of the petition signed. And, you know, the thing I was most excited about is a debate. So, you know, I know we've tried to get Phil in here, I think upwards of four times now. And, you know, even Phil in his own words, he said something about debating, and we need more debate. So I'd love to put a debate together between Phil and Stan once Stan gets those signatures. What's your thought?
Absolutely. If we can get these guys to debate and we come across a date as soon as possible, let's get them both committed to that, and we'd be very pleased to sponsor that, I know. And I believe Sanford Cohen would be interested in moderating as well.
Yeah, and then, you know, the one thing I also wanted to bring up that, you know, Phil and a lot of people are stating that he had his own private investigation and found no wrongdoing. But, hey, let's see it. Let's see. You know, we're talking about transparency. And, you know, there seems to be no transparency there again. And, you know, it was reported to the Attorney General. So, in my opinion, the Attorney General's report will be the one that's the more valid report, unless Phil wants to show Mayor Good what they found or what they didn't find.
Well, we're looking forward to our next show here, Chad. It's going to be on roads and transportation. We're going to look at the overall plans which exist. We're going to look at public transportation. We're also going to provide the perspective of major contractors on the process. And we're going to talk with people on the street. That's really a good piece of this whole thing.
Yeah, everybody loved that on our first show. And Mike Fan is going to be in. We had Vinny Gallegos with Simpo and the people on the street, you know. Maybe we'll interview a couple boulders over there, because I heard they had feelings.
Well, you're talking about SR 89, and that should come into this discussion. And I'm sure other major roads are as well. So join us in a week's time. We're talking roads and transportation, and we're going to talk also about road surfaces because we're using old technology.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott.
We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.
Eye on Prescott is solely responsible for the content of this program.